is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
This is a Paris Hilton free zone on the Albert Mohler radio program, but that doesn't mean that we cannot talk about Angelina Jolie, Madonna, Brad Pitt, and a group of other celebrities. Not really. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler program. What those celebrities have in common is the fact that all of them have adopted children internationally, and all of them have come into some controversy over whether or not you ought to have interracial adoption. What I'd like to talk to you about today, we've discussed a little bit on this radio program this week, the issue of race in America and race in our churches. We also talked a lot on this radio program about adoption and the mandate to adopt. What I want to know from you, do you think that Christians ought to be concerned at all with the issue of interracial adoption? There are many people who say yes. There are many people who say you really should not have black parents adopting a white baby or white parents adopting an Asian baby. You ought to instead keep the parents and the child in the same racial category in order to maintain the heritage of that child. What do you think? As Christians, when we are seeking to equip families to adopt, when we're seeking to promote adoption rather than abortion, should we take this kind of question into account? Interracial adoption, is that something that the Scripture speaks to? Is this something that a Christian worldview informs? And I want you to join the conversation, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm going to go ahead and come right out front here and tell you what I think. I think that we need parents to adopt children, and I think that interracial adoption, same racial adoption, almost every kind of adoption that I can think of, this is something that is needed in the lives of our churches. And so I don't think that we should say, oh, well, we're just going to leave African-American babies unadopted, or we're going to leave Asian babies unadopted. I think instead, the very picture that you have of families, often that are of different racial backgrounds, but it's because they're now one family through the loving adoption of parents of children, is something that signifies something about the gospel in a very real way. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You've got an African-American couple in your church, and they say, we're thinking about adopting an Asian baby. Do you have a problem with that? Should we have a problem with that as Christians? I think the answer is no. We ought to say, go for it, and help equip them to go for it. But what do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we'll talk about the issue of adoption beyond the race barrier today. Now, having said that, there may be some of you out there who say, yeah, I believe we ought to have interracial adoption when that happens, but that doesn't mean that there are not going to be some special challenges that come along with it. What do you think those are? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. But first, today in the news, Rudy Giuliani continues to be in the news, especially about his comments on the platform of the Republican Party. He's saying he doesn't think he wants to change the Republican Party's platform when it talks about overturning Roe versus Wade and protecting children in law as well as in life. I'm not going to mess with the platform, he says, but he is going to carry out a pro-choice, pro-abortion rights position on abortion. In other news, I think it really interesting, the fact there's an article right now in the Wall Street Journal, on the Wall Street Journal online, in which Don Chance, who's a finance professor at Louisiana State University, when he's talking about his students in his classes who are badgering him all the time to lift their grades to A's, he says he thinks he knows who the culprit is in all of this. He says, I just sensed this kind of entitlement mentality out there. And I know, you know, I work with a lot of professors, and our professors here at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary will often have barrages of emails from students wanting the syllabus 6 months in advance and this kind of thing. This guy says, I think I know where that entitlement mentality comes from. He says, it's Fred Rogers.
You're special to me. You are the only one like you, my friend. I like you in the daytime.
Now, I grew up with Fred Rogers. I think many of us in this age bracket were familiar with Mr. Rogers every single day of our lives, and it kind of hurts my feelings that he would say that we're fostering an entitlement mentality. But he says what's happening here is that when Mr. Rogers told several generations of children that they were special just for being whoever they were, that he was building their self-esteem with some good intentions, but what he didn't do was give high expectations. So you got a lot of kids out there who are really kind of nasty, mean people, but they're special just the way they are. I don't know if we ought to blame that on Mr. Rogers, but there is a culture of entitlement out there. I think we could say that much is the case. In the New York Times today, I found this article so interesting and right on target when it talks about the issue of the Toyota Prius, which is the hybrid automobile. In the news today, Albert Gore III arrested, going, I think I heard, 100 miles an hour in his environmentally sensitive hybrid Prius, found to have drugs in there. The thing that's remarkable to me, and several of us were talking about this before the radio program, is it's a sad thing that he was arrested, and your hearts go out to the Gore family and think they'll straighten this out with him. But can a Prius go 100 miles an hour? Wow. And what would that do to the environment? The New York Times says there's a reason why people buy that Prius automobile. Because it's like an issue bracelet, they say. It's like one of those Lance Armstrong armbands that say, I'm in support of cancer relief. It shows the world that the owner cares. It's a marketing icon. You have your Prius, and what you're saying to the rest of the people out there in your neighborhood is, I'm environmentally sensitive. It even says that there's a new dismissive reference to pious Prius owners out there in the world. Yeah, probably some truth to that, and probably some very good marketing going on as well. In the Los Angeles Times, interesting article, although I hardly think this is a shock at all, you better hide the tattoo if you want the job. And talks about how more and more Americans are having difficulty finding jobs because they're tattooed all over the place or because they have an eyebrow stud and they're not being received well by employers. Does that really surprise anybody? I mean, are you really surprised that having a skull tattoo is going to prevent you from getting a job at the daycare center? Well, Los Angeles Times says it's something more and more Americans are thinking about. Yesterday, we celebrated the 4th of July, independence of our nation, and the state of Minnesota has decided that they're going to require all United States flags sold in the state of Minnesota to be made in America. Violations of the law, which come into force at the end of the year, are going to be punished with a $1,000 fine or 90 days in jail. So no more made in China USA flags in the state of Minnesota. Thing I was shocked by when I read this article before I realized it was from the London Times is that they have the fine listed as $1,000 and then in parentheses £495. Well, you have to pay it in U.S. dollars also. And in speaking of American pride, 23-year-old returns the pride to America by winning the hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut, a 23-year-old engineering student from California, ate a world record of 66 hot dogs, returning the title on Coney Island to the USA and away from Japan. And this is what Mr. Chestnut had to say about that.
I'm sure a marathoner, after they run a marathon, isn't feeling too good. I'm not feeling great, but I feel awesome that I won.
Yeah, I bet he's not feeling awesome after he ate 66 hot dogs, but he has pride in the fact that he's the winner. Go USA. Today we're going to talk about the issue of interracial adoption. This is really a sensitive issue. I know that I certainly found myself with a barrage of criticism when I said in a forum somewhere one time that my kids are from Russia. They were adopted from a Russian orphanage, but we don't do Russian heritage events at our house because my kids aren't Russian anymore. We do Mississippian heritage things in our house. They see themselves as Americans and part of a family. They are a part of a family that goes back through our family tree. They've now been grafted onto our family tree. But a lot of people said, well, you're really denying them their heritage as Russians. And a lot of people are even more sensitive about this to say you really ought not to have interracial adoption at all. You shouldn't have white parents with black kids or black parents with white kids, because it tends to remove the identity of the child. My question for you is, how should we think about this as Christians? Why don't you join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the issue of interracial adoption. Is that a good idea? Does that help children or hurt children? Does it create families that otherwise wouldn't exist in a way that is good for the common good, or does it deny a child his or her racial heritage? The reason I'm thinking about this today is a really interesting article in Religion News Service about the Unitarian Universalist Association, the farthest left denomination in the United States of America, that found out as they looked at their membership that they're almost universally white. And they really are trying to do something about that, but they point to the 2005 General Assembly in Fort Worth as being symbolic, because they say at that meeting, two Korean Americans who had been adopted by white families came to speak and said to this denomination they ought to stop their transracial adoptions. As a matter of fact, they said, you don't have transracial adoption, you have transracial abduction, and said this is transracial abductees who then will have an identity crisis. Do you think that when we encourage Christian parents to adopt children of another race, that that leads to an identity crisis? And should that cause us not to do it in our churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, I have on the line Elizabeth Bartlett, who is the professor of law and faculty director of the Child Advocacy Program at Harvard, who has written prolifically on this issue. She's an expert on civil rights and family law, and she's written quite a bit about the issue of adoption overall and about interracial adoption in particular. Professor Bartlett, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Why do you think that this issue causes such tension whenever it is raised? There seems to be almost an awkwardness in the room when we even raise the discussion of interracial adoption.
Well, I think it causes tension because, of course, race in our society causes tension. And also, if you look back historically, race and the idea of breaking down racial barriers in the context of the family has always been particularly laden. If you look back, you can see that laws against interracial marriage and laws and regulations against interracial adoption were some of the last sort of white supremacy rules to go. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because often racial mixing in the family makes people anxious.
Well, I could even understand how you could have a bigoted person, a white supremacist or someone, saying, I don't think that you ought to have interracial adoption. We know those views are obviously wrong. But what about when you have someone who otherwise has very progressive views on race, but who nonetheless says, I think that interracial adoption really is harmful to kids? Why would they come up with that argument?
Well, why? I mean, certainly it's true that we've moved in this country from a period when it was white supremacists saying no transracial adoption to 1972, when the leaders both of African Americans and of Native Americans said, we're against transracial adoption in both the Indian and the black context. So why? I mean, I think that for some leaders of oppressed groups, they see losing what they see as, quote, their kids as weakening the larger community. I think that, you know, I think that's a lot of what's going on, and I think a lot of left liberal progressives, and I see myself as part of that group, but I differ with a lot of them on this issue. A lot of them think that the way to stand up for poor oppressed peoples is to give in to this demand that they hold on to their kids. So that, you know, in fact, in this area, both transracial adoption and international adoption, it's often the left progressive forces that are opposing it.
Now, what would you advise a couple, a family, adopting a child of another race or of another nationality? How should that person welcome that child into the home while still not creating this kind of identity crisis for the child later on? What are some things parents can do?
Well, first of all, I just want to dispel a little the idea that identity crisis is particularly linked to transracial adoption. I mean, that has been the claim all along. The people who oppose it since 72 have said, you know, first they said, we want these kids to strengthen our community. But secondly, since everybody knows that in America you're supposed to be talking as if best interest of the child are the dominant rule, the second thing they said was, it'll be better for the kids to have them stay within the racial community. And then the claim was, these kids will have confused racial identities if they're placed across racial lines. If you look at the evidence, the social science studies, and there are a lot of them, and some of them are really quite good and try to compare control groups to each other, there is not an iota of evidence in the 2 to 3 decades now of the 3 decades, almost 4 actually, of social science on this. There's not one scrap of evidence that placing kids across racial lines causes them any problem. That's, you know, there's also no evidence, actually, that bringing kids up with a powerful sense that they belong in some sort of essential way to a particular racial community is the way to make them happier. You know, that said, as a transracial and international adoptive parent myself, I think that we should pay attention to heritage raising these kids. I think if you're raising kids who have black or brown skins or who look as if they come from another country, those kids are going to be subject to discrimination in America. And I think one way of helping them deal with that discrimination is to make them feel proud of the group they came from and make them feel some strength in that identity. So I think, bottom line, it's a complex job raising kids from another racial group or country, and parents have to approach it with sensitivity, and they certainly have to think about the kids', quote, heritage, but they also have to think, like I believe, you know, virtually all immigrant families do, that life is complex, you know, that they're going to want their kids to feel a sense of belonging to their heritage group, but also belonging to their local community, their church, their Boy Scout League, et cetera. And I think the opponents of transracial adoption often act as if identity is this really simplistic thing, and that, you know, if you're black, that should be your 100% identity. And I think if you talk to black people, that's not how they see their own identity. So I think parents have to be sensitive to, you know, all these issues and not, of course, not raise kids as if they were, you know, just like the parents and white if they're not, but also not act as if heritage is the be-all and end-all.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth Bartlett. She is professor of law at Harvard Law School and an expert on the issue of interracial adoption. She says interracial adoption can be a great thing. Your identity isn't bound up in the color of your skin. It's bound up in your family and in other things. And as Christians, we believe it's bound up in Jesus Christ and in the community of the church. So if that's the case, how should we view interracial adoption? Should we encourage it? Should we discourage it? Should we encourage it with some warnings? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. You know where I stand on this, but maybe I'm wrong. If so, call and tell me. 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for vacationing Albert Mohler, who is somewhere out on the jet skis on the water, relaxing and resting up and ready to get back here soon. Probably not, but he's doing something restful and relaxing right now. Today, we're talking about the issue of interracial adoption. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Do you think that there is a problem with families adopting children who are from a different race, a different nationality? As Christians, how should we view this? Should we encourage it? Should we discourage it? Or should we say, yeah, do it, but these are the things that you ought to watch out for? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We're about to go to some calls. The calls are coming in really quickly, but let me tell you, I got an email from some lady named Cynthia that I really like, because this is what she says. Dr. Moore, I believe the heritage we ought to be concerned with preserving in ourselves and our children, I think is her implication here, is the Christian faith, Jesus Christ, and she closes it with, adopt those babies, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. That's where I am on this. What do you think? Do you think that interracial adoption should be a problem for Christians and for Christian churches? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Scott on the line who is listening in Trenton, New Jersey. Scott, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Thank you.
What's your thought on this?
I think it's a wonderful idea for Christians of any color to adopt a child of any race, but I think it's pretty selfish to expect a child to conform to that new family's ideologies and then you're not being open-minded enough to, you know, broaden your horizons and find out about that child's heritage. So say a white family adopts a black child or an Asian child, you're just going to let that child just grow up in a family that's totally foreign to him without teaching him who he is or who he comes from and how rich his heritage is.
What would that look like, Scott, in the household? How would you do that? How would you teach the child the heritage?
Okay, for an example, say I adopt an Asian child, and this child comes into a household full of African Americans, and he has no idea who he is or where he comes from. I think I would take that child to the library or to a museum and let him know his rich history from an Asian descent, how powerful his people were, and say, yes, you are different. I still love you. You're a little different from us, but we're still Christian, and I love you regardless of who you are, and I'm going to let you know how powerful your ancestors really were. And if you want to teach your children someday about your rich history, then I think you deserve an opportunity to know just who you are. Imagine being dropped off in Asia as a child somewhere or Africa, and everyone around you looks totally different from you. And you're going to wonder, who am I? You know, I'm not like these people. I really want to know, why am I different? I think that child deserves an opportunity to definitely know who they are but still be loved.
All right. Well, Scott, I appreciate that comment. I know exactly where you're coming from. I just really disagree with you. Not that I don't think that you ought to say, if you were to adopt an Asian child, to teach that child what it means to be Asian, go to the library, as you mentioned. I think all those things are fine. But I think the main issue is that we shouldn't, as we're adopting children, make a distinction between those who are kind of part of the family and those who are really part of the family. I mean, my kids were from Russia. They know they're from Russia. We look at the map as to where they were when the Lord directed us to them. Yesterday was the 4th of July, though, and they're celebrating George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. That's their heritage. We're not sitting around singing songs about Peter the Great and a list of czars. That's in the background. They've come out of that and into our family, and they're part of this family with this family's story, with this family's heritage. And I think that would be the case for you if you adopted an Asian child into an African-American home. Yeah, there are going to be some bumps in the road. They're bumps in the road for all of us. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Travis on the line calling from Illinois. Travis, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Thanks, Dr. Moore.
What's your thought today?
You know, the thing that I would say is that as Christians, we need to remember that all of what we do and don't do is driven by what the Scriptures teach us. And the Scriptures would teach us, first of all, that in Christ there's no Jew or Greek or slave or free.
That's right.
And secondly, we would say that, you know, the glory of God and the growth of His kingdom is going to trump any little social questions as to whether or not our community might really like having an adopted child from another race in our household. We want to share the gospel with kids, especially those who are from nations that don't have a solid gospel witness. Why not adopt someone from China and get them out of a of that background to a place where we can really teach them about Christ.
Travis, you're the man. I agree with you completely. That is exactly right. But what do you think? Should we encourage adoption interracially, internationally? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is that cultural imperialism? Or does it show something about the gospel? Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Darkness would not receive it, but for those who received him, he gave them the right to be called sons and daughters of God.
That's a powerful song. This is a young guy named Lewis Kathman I ran into preaching in Florida one time, and man, what a songwriter he is. That song has to do with the fact that we are sons and daughters of God, not by natural descent, in Christ, as we're grafted onto the people of God. What I want to know from you is, what does that have to do with the way that we view adoption? Interracial adoption is really controversial right now, with some people saying that this is robbing the identity of a child, that this is abducting a child from his natural identity and bringing him into a foreign type of home environment. What do you think? As Christians, if you've got an African-American couple in your church who say, the Lord is leading us to adopt this baby, but he's white, is that a problem for you? If a white couple in your congregation says, we're going to adopt this child, and he's an African-American child, should you care? How does the gospel speak to that issue? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. And should you, if you adopt a child from another race or another nationality, kind of bring him into the home, but constantly be reminding him or her, yeah, you're one of us, but not really one of us, because we're going to be constantly reminding you that you have this other heritage, you have this other background, you're really of this other place. How do you handle that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Sheila on the line. Sheila, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to. What do you think about this?
I think that Christ commanded us to love one another as we love ourselves, and it doesn't matter the race, the creed, the color. If you have a good Christian loving home to offer to a child, you adopt them.
All right. Sheila, I appreciate that word. What about Susanna? Susanna, are you on the line? What do you think?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My husband and I are adoptive parents of a 2-year-old Asian boy that we adopted last year from South Korea.
Great.
And our experience has been fantastic with transracial adoption.
Uh-huh.
It certainly was something we did not enter into lightly. We really prayed about it and felt that God was leading us down that path. And one of the most amazing things to me is that adoption is such a reflection of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And God is certainly colorblind. He makes no distinction based on race, and we shouldn't either.
Yeah, I mean, God is an interracially adoptive father. That's exactly right. That's a very good point, Susanna. Susanna says, our concern here ought to be the gospel and really breaking down these barriers. I agree with her. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, especially when you have so many children in orphanages in the United States of America and around the world. Many of them, the color of their skin is black or brown. Why should you care? A child being brought into a family, the identity there is the identity of the family, the identity of the parents. That doesn't mean that you just simply pretend as though there are no racial differences, but it does mean that you welcome that child into that family as one of the family. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Should we be squeamish about interracial adoption? Should we feel a little bit of a guilty conscience when we have this going on in our churches? Or should we say, no, this is exactly what Jesus would command us to do? 877-893-TALK. We have Will on the line calling from Largo, Florida. Will, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. I'm basically going to mimic what everybody else seems to be saying. We're adoptive parents, and we had a child already born to us, and we adopted out of Ukraine, and it was basically a call from God. When they gave us the adoption application, and it has all those check marks, what, you know, what diseases will you accept? And we checked everything but terminal illness, and we just said, God's going to send us a child, and they looked at us like we were nuts.
Yeah.
And then when they sent us the videotape, we shot the videotape in. The very first child looked at the child. That was the child that God had ordained for this family.
Yeah.
Went and got him. Now, he knows he's from Ukraine, but we don't belabor the point. He's a part of our family, and he really is bonded to our family. It's a wonderful experience. People need to get out and do it.
How old is he now?
He's 14 now. We adopted him when he was 5. I've been moved to write a book called The Myth of the Disposable Child, and I'm looking for a publisher, but this is all about the adoption. I used to write for Christian Computing Magazine, and a couple of the churches that used to read my column have already contacted me and said, we need to put this stuff out. We need to get people, Christians, to come in and realize what God's asking us to do. So,
all right. Thanks, Will, for that word. Will says in his family, there's no identity crisis going on with that child. What do you think? Now, even if you say, I think interracial adoption is a good thing, I think it's something that ought to take place, how do you keep a child who's, maybe he's an African-American kid, he's in an all-white family, and maybe in an all-white church, how do you keep that child from really feeling odd? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Sue Ann, who is calling from Abington, Virginia. Sue Ann, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
How are you?
I'm doing great. What do you think about this?
Well, this is what I really think. I think it's sad that we even had this question today. I really do, because we're all God's children. And just to think that this would be an issue for any believer, it's hard for me to believe. So.
Yeah. Well,
that's
where
I stand on it.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Susanna. It's hard to believe, but at the same time, you can understand a little bit of what's happening behind it, where you have people, for instance, when we adopted our kids from Russia, the adoption agency really didn't want the people in the neighborhood where we were knowing that we were there, because they would be really hostile to the idea of Americans coming in and adopting their children. And I can understand that a little bit, because, I mean, think if it were the other way around, if the United States of America had collapsed and you had people from the Soviet Union coming to adopt children out of orphanages, that would be really kind of an insult. I can understand that for people who are lost. What I can't understand is that kind of attitude among people who believe in the gospel of the book of Romans. That we'll talk about a little bit more in just a minute. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking about interracial adoption and the gospel. And this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I'm having an identity crisis because I am an interracial adoptee. Now, I don't mean that I'm an adoptive dad. I mean that I was adopted into a family line of a different nationality than mine. That's exactly the point of the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans, that you have groups of people, those of us who are the Gentiles, who have been grafted on to a family line, to a family tree, to a household that's not ours. When we come into union with Christ, when we believe in Jesus and are received into the church, suddenly we have an entire heritage. We have a genealogy. When you're reading through the Old Testament and you see those genealogies all the way from Adam through Abraham, right on down through Jesus, that's not yada, 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 a list of names. That's your family tree if you're in Christ. Matthew chapter 1 is your genealogy if you are in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, Paul says, and heirs according to the promise. You know, I think that is exactly what we're missing in this debate over interracial and international adoption. Now, I agree. There are going to be some particular sensitivities involved when you have families that are made up of people of different races, different backgrounds. But what we ought not to do is to say, let's cling to that prior identity of being something else. Instead, in our families, what we ought to say is, yeah, we may have different skin color, but we're a family. I'm your dad. I'm your mom. You're my child. That ought to be the attitude that takes place in a home, specifically so that you can say to that child in the fullness of time, now that you believe in Jesus, you're part of the household of God. You're part of the family of Christ. When God looks at you, he does not see you as someone who is Ethiopian or Korean or Tennessean. When he looks at you in Christ, he sees you as his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. And so here we are, part of a Jewish family. And yeah, sometimes that takes some getting used to, take some identity crises. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. That's what Romans 7 is all about. But praise to God, he did it anyway. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler program. And I just want to agree with Cynthia one more time. Adopt those babies.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.